should be able to see the screen, the screens which are there, because you will be following them. And also that this course is going to be in English. ये सिर्फ जो है इंग्लिश में ये बयान होगा, तो उर्दू वालों के लिए ऊपर भी इंतजाम है, वो जाके वहां सीख सकते हैं, और इशा के बाद भी इसका खुलासा बयान होगा उर्दू में. सो आफ्टर इशा इंशाल्लाह आई माइट गिव अ ब्रीफ समरी. सो इंशाल्लाह, बट यू नीड टू फोकस. And before beginning the discourse, you should know this is not lecture, this is not just speech or discourse for the sake of speech, but you are trying to learn the most precious thing which anyone can learn, which is to achieve the pleasure of Allah and becoming successful forever and the permanent abode of Akhirah. So see it like that. So this will be in parts. In parts we'll cover over 8 or 9 days, and inshallah you should ponder over it very deeply, because this is the your only chance, meaning on this face of the earth. This is the only chance you've been given, and this is also one of those chances that you have the opportunity to know and at least learn the methodology and to know it. Only then a person can go there. Like you have a navigation system for cars, you use firstly the navigator needs to know where it's going. It needs to know where it's going, it needs to know the route, then it can take you. Then the next part is the driving part, or the going part, or the walking part. But if you do not know, if the navigation doesn't understand the city where it's going, it only understands the roads, still it will be lost. Because it doesn't know where it's going. After that, it also needs to know the routes, the small roads and the big roads as well, to where you are going. For example, you are going to London or Copenhagen or city of Fars or Medina Sharif. Firstly, it needs to know that. Then it needs to know the small routes, the major routes. Then it you can follow it. So this these discourses are like it's in the navigation of your mind, some information is being transferred, the route and the destination is being fed in. And if it's not fed in correctly, or you lose it, memory loss happens, still it is as though nothing has been fed in. So inshallah, this is for that, it's the most important. There are many, many things which a person achieves, and the most important is your eternal life, your life.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم
أما بعد All these discourses are going to be based upon the 10 verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun which is the 23rd Surah of Quran which is starts with the 18th juz of Quran and the 10 verses and in 10 or 9 days you are going to learn and in that the special thing about those verses of Quran is that Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said once that such 10 verses have been revealed upon me, such 10 verses have been revealed upon me that if anyone acts upon them they will enter Jannah, rather Jannatul Firdaus. And Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are those verses? That there are only 10, and just acting upon the 10, a person can achieve one's purpose of life and pleasure of Allah and Jannatul Firdaus. Which are those verses which have been revealed upon you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned these 10 verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun which I have just recited in front of you, and inshallah we will be also hopefully going through their translation, and these discourses are really tafsir and explanation of those 10 important principles regarding the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned that there are many many sciences and many many arts which people learn in this life. They learn how to become successful financially. They learn about the nature, about the stars, about the animal kingdom, but any path determines its value according to what is at the end. The path is precious in proportion to what is at the end. So if you are researching on nature, you end up researching what is moon. So your path of search will also be determined by the preciousness. The value of it will be determined by that. After all, he is researching on moon. If you are researching on human being, any part, then actually that, or nature, or water, or how to become, attain money. This is an art as well, or skill which people try to learn, different skills for management. But at the end, what is money? The way how to marry, and the end there is women. So all the sciences of the world, be it the worldly, the academic, the intellectual, philosophy, the sciences, biology, computer science, social skills, everything, at towards the end of them, what is at the end will determine its value. The most valuable and the high science of all of them is to learn how to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to achieve your ultimate aim which you were created for, how to be living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is still Allah without you, and you without Allah are a devil burning in the hell forever and ever. That's what you remain then. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you as a human being, but when you leave, then no one is going to ponder over what's happened in this world, how long it happened as well. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one of the hadith that when a person who have gone through great struggles, like the previous awliya and sulaha, and also the sulaha of, for example, now as well, this ummah who came after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sahaba rizwanul alim ajma'in, the tabi'in, and the likes of Salihin, Fuqaha, Mufassirin, A'imma of Hadith like Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah, A'imma of Fiqh, A'imma of Tazkiyah like Imam Haris al-Muhasabi and all others, Imam Ghazali, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, that they went to struggles and previous as well people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that they went, some for hundreds of years, because they had long lives. But as soon as they are going to die, and they will be exposed to their eternal abode, because a believer is shown his abode in Jannah before death, before just as death. The angels bring the good news of that. And they say, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbik. O serene, O satisfied, O purified soul, irji'i ila rabbik. Now return to your Lord where you came from. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then it addresses that purified soul, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. So this is the type of address, and this is also one of the favorite verses of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah, this Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, amongst his other selection, this is also, because this is a very sweet address which a person gets from actually the angels, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but through angels at the time of death. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that person who have struggled all his life, like Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, went through struggle, for example, he sacrificed his whole wealth, wife, children, everything as such. But when they will reach Akhirah, angels will ask them that, have you seen any difficulty, any inconvenience, any hardship ever in your life? The person will say, no, I haven't seen. I haven't. He won't actually, because he will be absorbed in the player. Because when you are absorbed in the player, then if the player is more, then you forget. You become absorbed. Even if you are being cut at that time, but if the player is more than the pain, you don't feel the pain. And what is in paradise and Jannah? Not even, there is no pain. Like for example, imagine the story which the Quran mentions about Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam and Zulaikha Zulaikha became captivated by the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, and because she was like a queen, other her friends and you may say the wives of the ministers and other, they looked down upon Zulaikha, that you have fallen for a slave, because Yusuf alayhi salam was sold as a slave at one time and he was serving at the home. I don't think any one of us, no matter what situation you are in, will be any worse situation like Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was. That he born, he was a prophet, then his own family became his enemy, his brothers, then he is as a child born as sold as a child slave, and then he was in slavery for many, many years. Who can be in more difficulty? But he showed that you can still maintain dignity and you can still achieve the purpose of life in the best possible way if you actually abide by the rule or the guidance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. Whoever follows Allah's guidance, whoever Allah guides, guidance is from Allah, who follows His rules, His guidance, how can he go astray? وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. The one who abandons Allah's guidance and Allah, so it's as though Allah has abandoned him. فَلَا هَادِي. He won't. Will he then receive guidance from his wife, his friends? The government is going to guide him, his friends are going to guide him, very easily. No. So Zulaikha became captivated by the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. The others belittled her that you have fallen for slave, and she wanted to show them that he is not normal person, he has abnormal beauty. So she called in her all or most of her friends and gave them some fruits, knives to cut the fruit, apples and things, and then asked Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam to come and appear. And Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, when he appeared, they cut their own hands, there were cuts on their own hands and fingers, but they did not feel the pain at all. They did not even feel they are cutting their own hand. Why? By just seeing the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. So if this is a thing of this world, in this world happen that even the pain cannot be felt, because the pleasure of looking at Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was more than the pain of the hand being cut. So this is an example of this world. What I am saying to you is that when you've been cut with the knives of calamities or sacrifice of your desires in this world, and when you are going to Akhirah and you will see the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing is going to be remembered. No struggle, no pain, nothing actually. And what to say when a person will be in the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So this is the matter. Meaning, and similarly, the people who have spent all their life in luxury and actually they have been just pleasing themselves, etc., etc. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, once they will go to see the azab of Akhirah or the hellfire, the angels will ask them, have you ever seen any good days as well? Have you ever seen any good days, any pleasure you've been enjoying in the world with the women and eating and drinking, etc., etc.? They say, no. We've not seen even one second of that pleasure in the world. Because it will go away. It will only be a dream. It will only be a thought now, actually. So what I am saying to you is actually that this is the most precious art or science or knowledge, whatever you can learn on this face of the earth is to how to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as I said, Allah is Allah and going to be Allah with you or without you. Allah is Allah with you or without you. You will be, shall I say, nothing without Allah? No, I don't say it. You will be nothing. You will be a devil burning and stinking in the hellfire. That's what me and you are going to be without Allah. But to the beauty of Allah, to the qualities of Allah, to the grandeur and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no difference at all. No difference at all. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if all the creation, all the human were to become like the most pious amongst them, so all will become like a walis, no greatness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning no increase in the greatness or the qualities of Allah azza wa jal or the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No difference basically. And if they all become like the most evil one of them, with the hearts that are evil, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah's status, His quality does not make any difference to that. How can it make a difference? Your earth, what are you and me? Your earth, I'll show you in the presentation, inshallah, tomorrow or whenever. Your earth is the speck of dust in this universe, in this galaxy, in this bigger universe. It's not even seeable. It is invisible, even actually. It's not even visible when you look from another galaxy to your own earth. It's not. The sun is invisible. And how then what you are me and saying, I am this, I am that. But this is just fadl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given us the opportunity to become kings forever. What is Jannah? Jannah is like having your own kingdom and no one else is there who is sharing your Jannah and kingdom with you. You are sole king of your Jannah, which will be many times greater than this earth and this dunya. So if you achieve pleasure of Allah, are you doing any good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Something, a favor to Allah, or Allah azza wa jal benefits somehow by you achieving the raza or the pleasure of Allah? No. You are the, and I am the only beneficiary in that. So don't think, yeah, I am doing favor. Other people are indulged in all wrong things and doing things, and we actually are doing something great favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are learning about Him. You are all benefiting Him. If you eat food, who benefits? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You benefit. You benefit from the fruits and vegetables, not Allah. Similarly, spiritual food, if you eat, your spirit benefits. Your spirit is provided the nutrition. Like your body is provided, supplied the nutrition of through the physical food, the grains, the wheat, the barley, all the fruits and vegetables. You are just doing a favor to yourself. Or do you, when you eat and you say to everyone, you know, mother, father, brothers, I have eaten this much today, you know, I've done a great favor to you as well, etc. No, they are saying, what an insane person is this? Similarly, if you eat spiritual food, which is this salah, which is the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are doing favor to yourself. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Bani Israel, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ. If anyone does any good deed, he feeds his spirit, فَلِنَفْسِهِ. He is doing it for his own benefit. He is going to be the benefit. وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا. And whoever then eats wrong food, which is not for the good for the soul and the ruh, meaning sin is also food, but it is the food like drug for the body. It's harmful. فَعَلَيْهَا. You are going to, if you eat drugs, You are not harming the government, you are harming yourself. If you eat healthy food, you will be the one who will be enjoying the health. Similarly, spiritually as well, good deeds as well and bad deeds. No favor upon someone, only you are doing it upon yourself. So, be clear about this and bear this in mind. Allah is Allah. Without you, you are nothing without Allah. But rather, you can't become nothing. You can't become nothing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, when the day of resurrection will come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to resurrect all the creation, even the ant, even the cats, even the animals. And jinnat and human being obviously will be there. So they all will be there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will execute justice if anyone have done anything wrong with an even animal, injustice with animal, he will have to pay for that. After this has been done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the animal kingdom, the birds, except Allah, if he does not will for something, kun turaban, become dust now, become nothing now. So animal, bird, everything except human being and jinnat, they will become nothing. Kun turab. At that time, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the Quran, because the Quran shows you future. If any book shows you future for surety, without any doubt, it is the Quran, which shows you your future, what's going to happen to you. And as I mentioned, don't think that you are not mentioned in the Quran, I am not mentioned in the Quran, because the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have revealed this book, فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ, in that is your mention as well, in that you are mentioned as well. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, don't you then ponder, find yourself, where are you mentioned in the book? Some of the awliya Allah, they read and they try to find themselves in the Quran, where I am mentioned. When you found where you are mentioned, your qualities which you have, which match you, then you know where you are, and then you find where you want to be, and then you can actually draw a road map actually to where you want to be. So the Quran is the road map actually to guidance and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannah. So at that time, as I say, that I cannot say to you, you are nothing without Allah, because you will and I will, if we do not behave and do not fulfill the purpose, we are going to say on the day of judgment, when animals will turn into dust, when animals will turn into dust, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. These people who do not believe truly, unthankful people, they will also say, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي, I wish I was turned to dust like this bird, this like animals. At least I don't have to suffer the consequences, the wrath of Allah, the punishment of Allah, the torture of hell. But a person will not. He will say, Oh death, come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, La tad'u al-yawma thuburan wahida. Don't call upon one death. Wad'u thuburan kathira. Call many death, but death is not going to come to you now. Because here, at least someone is tortured or anything, there is a release that if you die, if your soul leaves, then you are relieved from it. But there you cannot even commit suicide, because you have committed suicide, greatest suicide, which is the suicide of the spirit. One is the suicide of the body, one is the suicide of the spirit. Suicide of the body is actually killing the body, making it actually the soul separate. And suicide of the spirit is separating yourself from Allah's closeness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's proximity, If you separate your ruh from there, that is spiritual suicide. And these people have to pay. So these people will say, but they will not be able to become dust. Rather, death will not even come to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His justice, they will suffer very hard suffering. Now you see, we feel little bit of suffering. So you see, the warmth of the weather, sleepiness, how weak we are. Even our pressure of blood pressure, you say, what is the blood pressure? Well, pressure is blood. The pressure go up and down, we are in trouble. And diabetes, so many things in the human being, balance changes, they are bedbound. Such weak we are. So we should try, when we are so weak, and that we should then rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And relying upon Allah means relying upon His guidance. It's no good saying I rely on Allah, but practically I'm following shaitan and the other worldly people. Relying on Allah, you cannot put hand on Allah, is not something physical. Relying in Allah, on Allah, means the holding the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah without you are nothing, rather you are in loss. You will have existence, but it will be worse than nothingness which you are going. So alhamdulillah, try to learn. So if you just ponder for the screen now, here in these discourses, we are going to learn the journey towards pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning to the end, the main components of it. But human being understands things better with examples. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal has used example in the Quran. He has even used example of mosquito. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوزَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. If you ponder over mosquito, you can get guidance. And if you are not man of reflection, you don't want to pay attention, you will ponder over Quran and you won't get, if you don't ponder over Quran, you don't get guidance from there. And if you ponder over mosquito, you can learn something. But I'm not going to use example of mosquito, I'm going to use something little bit bigger, example of plane. Because modern day everyone understands what a plane is, what an aeroplane is, what flight is. Plus it will show you that if you ponder over something, how much you can learn. You see everything in the, and Allah SWT said in the Quran, Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafil layli wal nahar. Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alteration of day and night and day, la ayat, there are signs. There are signs. There are things to learn. There are lessons to learn for everyone. No, la ayat li ulil albab, the people of understanding, people who want to think deeply. When you are in problem, you think deeply. How can I get out? When you are a financial problem, you think deeply. When you are in marriage problem, you think deeply. When and any other crisis come, you think deeply. But this is the greatest crisis if anyone can go through. What are the greatest crises? The greatest crisis is the crisis of Akhirah, the crisis of death, the throes of death, the crisis in the grave, the crisis in the 50,000 years day, the crisis for millions of years in hell. They are greatest crisis. And these 50, 60 years are really nothing. So you will be learning towards the pleasure of Allah, but with an example of the plane. So firstly, this guidance or the examples we learn, obviously the guidance come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in actual fact, then actually from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then actually through him, then through, he came to the companion and through awliya and sulaha. So we don't claim anything. As I said, I said to you, it's based upon the 10 verses of Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun, and also the explanation given by the shayukh, especially of awliya of this ummah, like Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabbagh, Ma'abul Hasan Shadli, and other awliya and sulaha, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his hadith and from his guidance given to other salihin and righteous people. So it's based upon that. So if you look, it says here, many people travel to many lands and worlds. They travel in many different ways. And that is true all around the world. You see, people are doing that. They are traveling to many lands. They are traveling to many different parts of continents and worlds. Some are going to moon, some are going here and there. They travel in many different ways. They travel by foot. There are people who are traveling by foot. Obviously, their journey gets prolonged. There are people who are traveling by vehicles. Their journey is a little bit quicker. By train, by ships, by plane. As you can see, by foot, a person, how long will it take for him to cover 1,000 miles? But on the other hand, if he is on the vehicle, on train or ship, it will be different. And how, as normal people can travel or afford these days, is the journey by plane. What I mean by that is that towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal, also there are different ways of walking as well. Different ways of traveling. Different speeds of traveling. You can travel by foot, which will take you very, very long, but you will eventually get there if you do actually keep traveling. Then there are methodologies, techniques or methods, and the guidance given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the awliya and the sulaha, that depending upon how closely you are following, it will, according to that you will speed. But the greatest and the fastest route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get the fastest and shortest route and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ye hai. So there are many planes which await for you. This is the guidance of the Mashayikh and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given in the Quran, but it's been said in a different way now, just to make you understand the modern day example. There are many planes which await for you to travel to the lands of Allah's closeness. But there are also many planes which shall take you to the lands of hell and the lands of your desire. So you should see the example like this. There is a plane which will take you to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is, as I said, the sunnah, the way of the pious, the righteous, the tariqah muhammadiyah, sunnat muhammadiyah, deen muhammadiyah, sharia muhammadiyah, they are all. And then there are other planes who you can travel. Everyone is traveling. There is no doubt there, spiritually as well. But they will take you to the hellfire. There are planes of desire, planes of shayateen, planes of bad company. There is no shortage of that. The bad ones are most in number. And they have been for a long time, and they will be for a long time like this. There is no shortage of people who are desiring. A bad friend, he has his own type of plane. He is inviting you, come, let's enjoy, we will do this, we will drink, we will have illicit relationship with women, etc., etc., and you know, forget, enjoy, etc., etc. This is a plane as well, a bad company. Similarly, shaitan comes up with his plane as well. He has many different plane for everyone. For some, it is the plane of zina which will take them to the hellfire. They want the fantasy of the zina world, and that's their plane, that's their idea of life, that's where their place which they feel comfortable in, their plane is to do with that. In some, their plane is of political nature. They want fame and name. Their planes are political nature, fame and name, meaning that they want to be counselor, they want to be there, even though they have to leave the deen, even though they have to lie, even though they have to kill people, even though they have to defraud people. That's there. Shaitan brings a different plane for everyone. You like this one? Okay, young man, you get on this one. You like women? This is a plane for you. You like become political leader while being unjust to others? This is a plane for you. Others are in planes of desire. You like drugs and alcohol? This is the plane for you. So Shaitan have a different plane for everyone, because people like different things, people are prone to different weaknesses. For some, sleep is their weakness, for some, money is their weakness, for some, women is their weakness, for some, dunya is their weakness, for some, the desire of nafs is their weakness. But Shaitan brings them all these planes here. Here you are, boarded, you don't have to pay even, free ride, free flight you will get. Then Rasulullah also brought a plane. The greatest plane, which can the shortest and the fastest way to the heavenly kingdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually that is. And he alayhi salatu wasalam also invited. And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, because in his time there was no plane. Imam Malik rahmatullah, in his time there was no plane. So he gave an example of ship. He said the example of the sunnah of the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the example of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam's ark and his ship. Whoever embarked, boarded the ship of Hazrat Nuh, he was saved and others were drowned in the flood. So he said the example of sunnah in this world is as well. In this world there is a flood of sin, flood of rebelliousness, flood of treachery, flood of heedlessness. He said, this flood of sins and all these things, only ship which can save you, like Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam's ship, is the ship of the sunnah and the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The sunnah is the ship, the love is the direction determined by that ship. So, yeah. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi he gave example as well. So ponder over the plane that you, which one do you want to sit in? Which one do you think? It's easy to sit in which is free, which is looking, your nafs is liking it. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited us toward something more precious. Okay. So you have understood this, mashallah. Now the next part to understand is, look, wherever you shall board, you shall need a ticket, you shall need your passport. Now that is common knowledge now. Almost everyone knows that when you need to board a plane, you're going somewhere, normally you need a passport, you need a ticket, unless you have a private plane. But actually, we are speaking about the majority of people, just to make you understand. But many have lost their tickets, they've lost the passports of servanthood, which they have all been given as they entered the world. So the Prophet ﷺ, the Mashaykh and Awliya Allah, is as though they are saying this to us, that wherever you shall abode, you will need two things are necessary. One is the passport, one is the your ticket flying. But if you lose the passport, if you lose the ticket, then you are given passport
and ticket when you enter this world. The passport determines your identity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to you, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Your identity, O human being, is being the servant to Allah. You were created to serve Allah. You were created to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal. So, the passport, so many, as it said in the previous matter I have said, they've lost their passport. They don't know their true identity, who they are. They don't know. They were given the passport of servanthood. They've lost it. And now, they don't have the passport of servanthood. They have the devil's passport. Now the devil have actually taught them something. That, oh, you are free. Enjoy yourself, etc., etc. You know, do whatever you like. That is the shortest way to, if you want to become devil. As they hear, there someone has written Satan's Bible. Like they said that, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent guidance for his servants in the form of Quran, at one time in the form of Gospel, Injil, in the one time in the form of Psalms. Shaitan ne bhi apni kitab likhi hai. The devil has also written a book. Usko kaha hai devil's Bible, Shaitan's Bible. Wo bhi 600 page ki hai. In that, what is mentioned is that if you, the devil said, if you want to become like me, meaning big devil, what should you do? He said, do whatever you like to do. That is, if you want to become like me. Because I did what I liked to do. I did what I liked when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in prostrate in front of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, I said, Allah, I am better, you know, I like to do, you know, whatever. I don't feel like going down to Adam. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I am better. So I just followed myself. And look, see what? I became, from friend of Allah, I became devil. I became shaitan. So this principle, he said, I'm teaching you as well. Do whatever you feel like doing. Do whatever your nafs like doing. Do as you pleased. Do whatever you pleased with. That is the shortest route to becoming a devil, an enemy of Allah. And the shortest route to Allah is to do whatever Rasulullah said like. Similarly, they are opposite. They are always opposite thing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tattabi'u khutwati shaitan. O believers, don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. That do, you are doing whatever you want. But rather, meaning, do what, follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ, then you will enter. So the deal is there. So these people we have our mind, I don't feel like praying, I don't feel like doing this, I don't, well, you feel like being devil then. And then you will become if you act upon that feeling as well. So Islam fundamentally is name of submission, you see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose how many words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Is there any limit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna allazeena amanu wa amilu. Qul law kana al-bahru midadan li kalimati rabbi lanafida al-bahru qabla an tanfada kalimatu rabbi walau jidna bimithlihi madada. That if the seas become ink, if the trees become pens, still Allah's words will never finish. So there were so many words, there's no limit, but Allah chose one word for His deen, Islam. There must be a reason. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, is not like us, yeah, I should think, what shall I call my book, what shall I call this, what shall I name the baby, etc. Now it's limited, dictionary is limited. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has vast knowledge, and He chose one word, Islam. And Islam basically means voluntarily giving your will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to the will of Allah and leaving the will of yourself and will of shaitan. So it's exactly opposite what shaitan says. And you will find that shaitan always likes to do things opposite to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what his favorite idea is. That is tariqah shaitaniya. One is tariqah, there are only really two tariqah, two paths in the world now. One is tariqah shaitaniya, one is tariqah muhammadiya. Tariqah shaitaniya is the all the falsehood and the ways of it, and tariqah muhammadiya is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of the turuq of awliya and fuqaha of all Aimma Islam, they are all the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in different colors, different ways, different, they represent the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Haan mal qadariya, koi naqshbandiya, koi shaziliya, koi muhammadiya, koi tajaniya, haan Hanafi hai, koi Shafi hai, they all representing one way or the other some of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one way or other, they are trying to derive, because anything which is not found in Quran and Sunnah, the base, if it's not there, then actually it is to be abandoned. It's not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these fuqaha and awliya, they have based some way or the other derived from actually the Quran and the prophetic example and the way of the companion of the Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhi ajma'in. Anyway, I was saying to you to find your passport which you have lost. Find your passport which you have lost. Some of the passport take you to, for example, gives you entry to another country, another continent. This passport of servanthood, being a servant of Allah, living a servant of Allah, was your entry to paradise, the land, the country called Jannah, in which there is what you cannot imagine at all. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal said in the Quran, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةُ عَيُّنٍ. That Allah has, there are things which Allah has informed you in Jannah of. Where there will be hood, there will be palaces, there will be these things which we can understand, which we can relate to. And then there are things we cannot imagine. As the Prophet ﷺ said, no eye have seen them, no ear have heard them, not even thought of them have passed anyone's mind. And Allah said in the Quran, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ. No one, no soul knows what Allah has prepared you for you, hidden. The coolness of eyes, meaning actually it will just give you pleasure, because one of the sifat, one of the attributes of Jannah is that there will be no boredom there even. One is that you have everything, palaces here, sometimes you have everything, you become bored. I have money, I have cars, I have nothing, I am bored, there is no peace. I have everything, having no worry is also a big worry for some people. Then they are serious. Having no worry sometimes becomes big worry. So in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, even in the Quran literally says that there will be no boredom there. Boredom be nahi. Because every second, the pleasure, the intensity of pleasure, the beauty of those places and wood is going to be multiplied. It is said, when a person will look at his wife in Jannah, with a different, after blinking his eye, 70 times her beauty is going to increase. Here it is going to decrease in this dunya, day by day, the time actually decreases. The time is actually decreases. But in Jannah, there will be no time ruling the human being, because the servant of Allah is servant of Allah. Now servant of Allah rules the time and space as well. Not like this in this world, time and space is ruling you. You want to be here, you can't go to high, you can't want to go to moon, sun, you cannot go there because there are rules of time and space and natural powers. But when a person becomes truly the servant of Allah, then he rules the space and time in Jannah, not otherwise. Everything is going to happen according to what he wants, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give power. If a person, as you see the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the mu'jiza of Mi'raj, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went beyond the kingdoms of this earth and the heavens and where, because he is the, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanallazi asra bi'abdihi, is Allah who took his servant in the part of night to actually from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and beyond. So this abd, being servant, is not small title. It's given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ye koi chota title nahi hai. Not everyone can become servant of Allah. So servant of Allah, passport of servant of Allah. But many unfortunately have lost it. They have become what? What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Abdul dirham. Abdul dirham, Abdul dinar, Abdul kabisa. That many are the not servants of Allah really. They are Abdul dirham. They are servant of dirham, meaning servant of pound and dollar. Or worshipper of pound and dollar. Or worshipper of clothing, embroidered clothing, meaning precious clothing, meaning all their life is concerned with this, which designer clothes I am wearing, what is this, that's their main concern. And it's as though they are worshipping them. They feel very much uplifted, if they're about these things, etc. Because the honor comes from Allah, and they think it comes from the pounds and dollars and money and clothing. But they don't give them the honor really. It is only false, you may say, imagery. A mirage, like in the sand you see, and there is nothing. So the first thing which you should recognize is true identity. Someone says to you, who are you? Are you? You say, I am, for example, Bashir, my name is Nazir, my name is Zaid, my name is Umar, Abu Bakr. Who are you? What is your true identity? Are you the body? Or are you the mind? Or are you the nafs? Or are you the ruh? Or are you the akal, the intellect? Because that's controlling the body. Who are you? What is your true identity? Firstly, to recognize yourself here. So then it says the passport and the tickets. This is also to travel to the land of Allah. Firstly, find your true identity. So the first thing which you need to do is to know who is Allah and who is you. Because if you keep thinking you are also God, or you are, for example, something else than other than the servant of Allah, you won't be able to travel. So to travel to land of Allah, because true identity, if you now want to export an animal on the plane, you can't actually go the normal way. There's different procedure. After they don't let you go with fluids, or they don't let you go to certain things, or aapne saamp pakda hua ho, haath mein ek snake hai, it's my pet, I'm taking it. Uske liye bhi. Because the planes, they are for particular creation, and there are others for other creation. So you, what are you? You firstly, you should know your true identity, who you are. Only then, when you become no true identity, admit the fact and reality that Allah is the Lord and I am the servant. And servant means, servant means serving. Who should serve now? It's now no use actually claiming to be servant and then actually serving someone else. Then you are truly the servant of who you are serving. To find your true identity, find the passport of servanthood. This is the only passport which is recognized on the plane towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to people go towards Madina Sharif, Makkah Sharif, Pakistan, America, Australia, Maghreb, or actually Asia, whichever they are going, there is a particular requirement. The land of the pleasure of Allah, the Jannah, requires one passport, and of that is of servanthood. So firstly, admitting this, because this is mentally, when you understand, the slave understands, then he is a slave to Allah, then he will only really be willing to give up. Otherwise, he will be doing mixture of things. Sometime he will be doing whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, sometime he will be doing whatever he wants. So this is, it's like Imam Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmahullah, or another saintly person, he said that someone asked him, how have you learned this servanthood, abdiya, the concept of abdiya and being servant to Allah? He said, I learned from one of the slaves I bought. He said, how? You are a great scholar, mashallah, and great man of knowledge, and you said you learned from a slave how to become a slave of Allah? He said, yes. He said, once I bought a slave, and when I brought him home, and I said to him, what is your name? He said, do the slaves have name? My name is whatever my master calls me, that is my name. Said, okay, I'll call you by the good name. He said, what is it, what will you like to wear, what is your normal dress you wear? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that, clothe your servants in the same level of dressing as that you do. He said, do servants have a choice of clothing? I will wear whatever you like me to wear. He said, okay, that's fine. What will you eat? What is your eating habits? He said, the servants have no choice. Slave, does the slaves have choice? I will eat what the master gives me. Your sleeping patterns, your working capacity, for everything, he said, I don't have any choice. Whatever you wish. I am slave. At that time, the Shaykh said actually that my immediately thought went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I should be like this in respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. While I am saying, no, I want this. Allah is choosing something else. I don't want this. I want this, O Allah. No matter that will take you to hellfire, but we have got their own choice. The true servant, they make request to Allah and leave the thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He grants them, be it children, be it money, be it fame, be it name. They just make request, oh Allah, we are your servants. We are in need of something in this world and hereafter. We request you. And then they rely on Allah, tawakkul on Allah, that actually, that whatever Allah blesses with them, which is better for them. Because asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrun lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, maybe you love something and it is evil for you. It will be bad for you. You like to marry a particular person, it might be the most evil person. It might prove to be a devilish entity for you. And وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُكْرِهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ. It might be you dislike something, but it is better, it is khair for you. So many a time, the nafs dislikes obeying Allah, doing good deeds and other things, but it is good at the end. Because at the end you are going to enjoy, not anyone else. So you should now decide that you want to be the citizens of dunya or citizens of akhirah. After the true identity, the passport of servanthood, and you have the ticket, boarding pass, which is your true identity. Now, like their citizenship, some people have citizenship of this country, some of other countries. You have to decide that you want to be citizen of dunya and citizen or citizen of akhirah. It's up to you. It's up to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the choice. You are to decide. Here you see people say, I want to have a UK nationality, I want to have American nationality, I want to have Saudi Arabian nationality, because I want to live in Makkah or Mukarramah. They have their own choices. and they base their choices on benefit or whatever harm, how much they see. Now you should also figure out in your mind that is it the dunya, citizen of dunya is worthwhile. If you are given permanent citizenship, still you have to leave. How can you be permanent? Or you want to be citizen of akhirah. Citizen of akhirah are of also two kinds. One is a citizen of hell, and one is having citizenship of paradise. You have a citizen permanent. Some people will famma man utiya kitabahu bi yamini. Someone will be given the certificate, the citizenship on the day of judgment for Jannah. Here is your citizen, and the person will be showing that certificate to everyone. Oh people, look, ha umukarau kitabia, come here, look at my citizenship of Jannah. In inni zanantu anni mulaqil hisabia, I believe and thought that I will meet Allah this day, and I have prepared for that. Look, and he will be showing people his citizenship. Another is the citizenship of Akhirah. Or you can understand like Sheikh Ibn Ata'ullah Sikandari, Rahmullah, one of the greatest wise people, one of the sages of this Ummah. He actually said that you have a choice between two women to marry. One is ugly, and also only have said I'll stay with you for few days only or few months, and also is temporal with you and unfaithful, and one is the beautiful one, the permanent, who is going to stay with you forever and who is very faithful. Your choice. So aaj to jo hai wo yahi khatam karte hain. And inshallah tomorrow, inshallah, we will continue further, meaning after you understood the identity, then, because it's no use explaining it to you if you don't want to be servant of Allah, if you don't know why you are here on this face of the earth, and then how your journey then begins. Wo plane phir kaise udta kaise hai, how the plane leaves and he takes you to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the coming days. وہ اس کے بارے میں تھوڑا آپ سوچیں اور غور کریں. جزاکم اللہ احسن الجزاء. At the end I normally give opportunity for question related to what I have said. If you want to ask question of aqeedah, there will be class of aqeedah, you ask them. You want to ask question of fiqh, rules and regulations, there will be class of fiqh, you ask them. There are scholars mashallah here also, actually, ulama bhi hai, imam sahab bhi hai, unko puchhe aqeedah ka, fiqh ka sawal. Isme ye tazkiya, ihsan, tariqa, the methodology of and the art and the science to get close to Allah, to iske mutalliq koi sawal hai, especially what I have said up to now, or generally about tazkiya, you are most welcome to do, or you have not understood anything. Other question, after 10 minutes break, you will have a class of aqeedah, a fiqh, of tariq, halqa. Inshallah, you are going to study in that. Walaikum As-salam.
My question is regarding describing Jannah. You said mainly scholars talk about rules and etc. Very rarely is mentioned about women. So when they do the good deeds and etc., and the sisters often ask and say, you know, talks about rewards of the man who desire and fulfills his pain for the sisters. I wonder if this is the opportunity to explain this.
Brother is asking that in the Quran and in Sunnah, normally, not in all places, normally it is mentioned about that whores, the women of paradise, will have
this quality and this beauty and this etc. etc. They will be good to marry, and they will have eyes like this, they will have body like this, they will have voice like this, etc. etc. And he's asking that some that people or the sisters or some people, they ask that for women this type of expression is not given, that the pious and righteous women will, for example, get men like this, etc. Firstly, let me explain to you, this is really for to protect and also do the honor of women. Because do you ever say to your daughter, I am finding a proposal for you, or I'm trying to find a proposal for you, or to your sister who will have this, who will have a body like this, who will have face like this, etc. This is thought, meaning not undignified. You don't say to your daughter that which type of man you like, strong man you like, actually which type of man you like, what type of height, what type of eyes. This is not addressed. But for men, normally for men it is only to discuss. They do discuss actually that I like, I want to marry a girl, it is like this. This is somewhat actually acceptable. For them it is called, meaning not considered dignified, that women are actually. But this is only the some places of Quran. The other places of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the word spouses in the Quran. Azwaj and Zawj and Azwaj, which means spouses. That they will be with their spouses. Inna ashab al jannat al yuma fi shughulin faqihun. Humma azwajuhum fi zalalin ala al araik. These are also, in another, also spouses have mentioned. And in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that these women of human, meaning from Bani Adam, who are daughters of Adam, they will be married to the men of Bani Adam, the Awliya Allah and Anbiya alayhi salam in Jannah. They are not actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a creation like hoods for them, because the women of Jannah will be even more beautiful than the hoods. The women of Bani Adam, the women of from children of Adam, will have more beauty even than the hoods. Similarly, the man or the wali or the jannati will have more beauty than many angels there. So these will be, like it is said about in the hadith, it's mentioned about Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Rasulullah, when she was on her deathbed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give my salam to my other wife. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, you've never married anyone except me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Asiya, who was in this dunya, the wife of Pharaoh, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually destined her and have done his nikah with me and also of Sayyidah Maryam, the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So similarly, if the women of this earthly life, her husband is pious and righteous, he will obviously be his wife and in Jannah. If her husband has gone into hellfire, for example, he become disbeliever, then she is going to be married with another jannati, another man. Maybe his wife has gone to hellfire, for example, many men will go, many women also will go in Jannah and also hellfire. Rather, Rasulullah warned the women of this ummah that I saw more women in hellfire than actually the men. So properly advised them, admonished them, reminded them to safeguard them themselves more from certain sins, especially of the tongue. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you keep the mic closer? Yes, sir.
My question is, if the people last 10 days, if you do our personal amounts, is it better if the foreign people, even if you live busy lives, you don't have time to do reflections, you maybe prioritize becoming a man of reflections, pondering on the lectures that you've given us, trying to work out our identity, rather than getting caught up, have I done my amounts, completed them in a day?
We normally give opportunity for to people to for time for their amal and time for actually these lecture and discourse and reflection. So, for example, if some after, for example, before Asr or between the time Asr, Maghrib, Isha, if anyone just they do their amal, they are almost about 1 or 1.5 hour, whatever they can complete their amal. Meaning there is a portion they should also assign for the deeds and the reflection upon thing upon this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learning. Yes, that takes more preference, more important, because this is going to benefit you after you leave itikaf and in your normal worldly activity as well, whilst the amal are temporal with you, meaning that they have reward, they have temporal benefit. Both things are, you may say, important, but this takes the importance. That's why in between there are times which you are given Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and also after the discourse after Isha to do there. And sufficient rest time is given as well from the morning to Zuhr time. Today you woke up earlier for Jummah, other time it is 2 o'clock. So rest and inshallah do whatever amal you can do, and plus also reflection and also discussion between yourself about this, because this is going to change your whole life. The amal is the amal are temporal, you may say that. The brother has asked and mentioned something about the cats that he has kept, three cats. Now, cat is that type of animal that the Sharia and the Prophet ﷺ allowed, and rather Rasulullah ﷺ praised cats in his ahadith. But there's limit to everything, you see, there's limit to everything. And so you are allowed to keep, you should, that if you do keep, then you should look after them in the sense to provide them daily needs, etc. Rasulullah ﷺ cared so much for cats that when Prophet ﷺ was doing wudu, he was making wudu and in the pot, and a cat came and for the water, and he was, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in the middle of wudu. He postponed and stopped his wudu until the cat drank the water it wanted to drink. تو آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے بلیوں کے بارے میں جو ہے اجازت بھی دی اور خود بھی فرمایا کہ ان کا جو ہے یہ کھا لے کسی چیز سے تو وہ ناپاک پانی ناپاک نہیں ہوتا, اگر یہ پی لے, اف دے ڈرنک فرام سم تھنگ اٹ ڈزنٹ بیکم امپیور میننگ دیٹ ریزلٹ فرام ناپاک اور اینی تھنگ ایز سچ. جس طرح کے یہ وضو کا مطلب رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم وضو کیچ ان and it actually drank and Prophet ﷺ paused his wudu for a short while and then actually completed wudu. Now the brother says that yes, he likes alhamdulillah, that is good. So you have a right upon yourself as well. If that cat has a right over you, even more precious is the cat which is sitting in you, which is your nafs, which is more actually going to be long lasting with you. So give preference to that as well and fulfill. And if you pray, if in, like you asked about Jannah, if anyone, like one companion said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I like plowing the fields with, the, let's say, wheat or trees. And like he was a first farmer, he liked those type of things. Will these things will be in Jannah? Will I be allowed to farm? Rasulullah said there will be everything what you desire, and you will if you like farming and these things, this you can do that as well, and it will be a more in a more different way in Jannah. So if the brother like cats, you want to have cats in Jannah, then you a person will he will get cats there as well. There's nothing about that. By the way, I also have one cat. We have also kept one cat. You have three, but we also have one. No. Jazakallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with guidance and also your stay here, and also so that you may not only learn but become a true warrior against shaitan and nafs, and become a foot soldier in the army of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Saliheen. Jazakumullah khairan jazza. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
أستغفر الله. But there's inshallah there'll be a short break for about